this is an hour that I have to say is incredibly self-indulgent on my part. I've been looking forward to it for months. We get to talk, as a flutist, I get to talk to two other marvelous flutists, including the professor of flute at Western Michigan University, Martha Council Vargas, and recently graduated from the University of Michigan, E.J. Schubkegel, who grew up here in Kalamazoo and also went to Western Michigan University and studied with Martha. So welcome, E.J., and welcome, Martha.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
The event is a live performance tonight featuring Martha Council Vargas. And as always, Martha, you have envisioned something beyond a traditional recital. I think you left the idea of a traditional recital behind years ago.
A few years ago, yes. Kara, something happens to us when we turn 40, and I don't want to say I got bored with classical music. Of course, I've dedicated myself to music since I was little. I started piano when I was 5 years old and went to flute when I was 10, and I knew that I would be a musician, and there was nothing more to be done about it. But I did start thinking recently, or I guess in the last 5 years, about different ways to present the great repertoire that the flute has. And also, I feel strongly that if I'm going to dedicate myself to art, that it should be meaningful. I want the art to speak to causes that are important to me and to make a difference. So for those two reasons, and because it was my dream as a four-year-old to be a ballerina, I decided to explore different ways of presenting music.
Why is the traditional recital not complete for you?
Right. So for me, okay, we were just talking about the fact that I don't really think in words or complete sentences.
Before we went on the air, yeah.
But I do tend to see colors and movement when I listen to music, if I'm listening to it closely. And so to learn a piece intimately to me means not just playing the notes on the page, but actually illustrating or illuminating it. And so when I allowed myself to be true to those visions, well, I mean, all chaos broke out, but it's been really fun.
In past recitals, you've incorporated movement, formal dance, where you've trained to move your body as well as learned repertoire and combined playing and moving together, making it doubly hard, twice as
challenging.
Yeah.
Yes.
And right now, perhaps we might give you a little break because I think EJ would have some insight into how you modeled this idea for her when you were an undergrad, EJ.
Yeah. Well, if I could just interject, EJ's talents go far beyond the flute. She was my student for 2 years, but she's also a beautiful singer. She's a trained dancer, and we could go on and take the whole hour, but it is such a privilege to work with you. And she was the first person that came to mind when I was planning this show. I needed someone to choreograph, and then I convinced her also to direct the show as well. So, and she's done an amazing job. It's been a privilege.
And we're counting down to tonight. The music begins at 7:30 p.m. The performance is in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. It's a ticketed event on the Bullock Performance Institute series. So ahead of time, you can contact the Miller Auditorium box office. And that's 387-2300. EJ, wow, kindred spirits, it sounds like.
Yes.
So what can you say about having Martha as a teacher and watching her journey as she really disrupted the idea of faculty recitals?
Right. Well, like she said, she started this creative journey kind of right when I was finishing up mm-hmm. studying with her. So I got to see the start right before I graduated. I got to see one of her first kind of attempts at creating a recital that incorporates so many extra elements. And that really inspired me. And I have always, I've always dabbled in a lot of areas of the arts. And I danced, like she said, through high school, and even, I mean, I started when I was four, but I danced in a company, actually in the Ballet Arts Ensemble company from Kalamazoo for a while, and kept pursuing that in college. So I was always keeping this dance part of my life going while pursuing the flute. And I come from a big musical family and was used to singing and playing in church and stuff. So I always had these arts areas going. And then as I was kind of taking off from Western and thinking about what I was going to do next, I got to see Dr. Council Vargas really model this, you know, combining all of the arts and combining my love of flute. And it was extremely inspiring. And, you know, I went on to pursue my master's at the University of Michigan, where I got to do the same and was inspired to dabble myself and be like, what else could I do? What else could I combine? And what else do I have to give in my life? So definitely an inspiration to me.
And what you're contributing to the concert tonight is, I'm not sure, directing, art directing, video. What could you describe some of the things that Martha pulled you in
for? Well, I started as just the choreographer, you know, just kind of coming in and seeing where we could put movement and dance to these pieces. And as we went along and had meetings and started kind of dreaming together of different ideas, I think there was a point where I was very honored when Dr. Council Vargas, you know, basically trusted me to, you know, say, would you be my eyes? You know, would you be my second pair of eyes for this? And kind of saying, will you come alongside me and help me bring this to life in every area, not just the dancing parts, but everything from the lighting to the projections to the staging and even transitions between pieces and how to make this a cohesive show. So
now, Martha, in the past, you've been very you've been your own producer, your vision in your mind. You could create it as well as possible because you knew what you wanted. Did you have any? Were you surprised at how much extra communication or like real trying to describe or get the concept across with EJ, even though you worked together before, but still, when you add another director, there's that much more communication to explain.
I must say, with EJ, it was not hard at all. I must say there's something really magical, I think, about our work together. And there was a lot of laughter involved. Yes. Some really crazy ideas that you know, went in the bin. but to be, it's what everyone hopes for. It's to find a collaborator that you trust completely and that you can just bounce ideas off of. And, you know, and it's so important to feel free enough and comfortable enough to just say, you know, okay, this is totally off the wall, but what if, you know? And that's kind of how the show came into being. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing to work with EJ.
The show is called Visible Voice. Who came up with that idea?
I came up with that, and honestly, I was writing a proposal to the Arts Council. By the way, this project is funded by the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo, so thank you for that, the Kalamazoo Artist Development Initiative Artistic Excellence Award. I was very privileged to receive that. So the Arts Council sent out an RFP, a request for proposals, and so I thought, well, I could do this, a live project, and hopefully, you know, benefiting the community, obviously drawing on WMU's resources and bringing in members of the community. So I just came up with an idea that again, because I don't think like a normal person in words, I could say what's in my heart and in my artistic soul without any speaking. And so so I'm basically telling a story with the music, the visuals, and the choreography.
Will the concert be performed from beginning to end without pause?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're modeling it kind of like a dance show. Mm-hmm. So there will be transitions between pieces, but between pieces there will be material to experience that helps tell the story.
Okay. We're getting our minds around visible voice concert.
Little by little.
You can also, since this is a Bullock Performance Institute series concert, there's an opportunity at 7 p.m. to hear more behind the scenes from the artists. And that's a live and interactive session at 7. Music will begin at 7:30, and details are at the Miller Auditorium website, where you can purchase tickets in advance. Why don't we take a musical break and listen to one of the selections that you'll perform tonight. Would you remind me what we were going to hear?
We were going to do Mensajero Alado. That also means winged messenger. This is a piece that I discovered on a trip to Mexico 3 years ago. I was in a friend's car and he had it playing, and I said, "What is this music? I've never heard it before." And he said, "Oh, my friend Sergio wrote this piece. You want me to get it for you?" I was like, yeah. So it's for flute and voice. It's by Sergio Cárdenas. Flute and strings, excuse me, no voice.
I was wondering how you'd pull it off.
Exactly.
It can be done.
It is possible. Yeah. It's actually the last piece on the program, so we're starting from the end.
All right.
But I'm excited about it, and I'm using some strings from the Kalamazoo Symphony. Igor Setkovich, Lisa Williams, Karin Code, and
Julia Neckermeyer.
Yeah.
That's music in the concert tonight. Let's take a break. And is this your recording or another artist?
This is my recording of the flute and piano version.
That's flutist Martha Council Vargas, and a piece from her recital, which is tonight, and it's titled Visible Voice. This will be an immersive concert played from start to finish. There will be choreography, lighting, and a handful of wonderful musicians joining you, Martha. E.J. Schubkegel is your choreographer and director, so you've put a lot of eyes and musicians into this, ears into this concert.
It's true.
So let's talk a little more about the piece we just heard. What was the title and the composer again?
Winged Messenger by Sergio Cárdenas. It's not published here in the United States, but I was very lucky to be able to communicate with the Composers Union in Mexico City, and they were able to arrange to give me permission in parts for the performance tonight.
Now, you said this is how the program will end.
Yes.
And I do get a vision of a bird, certainly, as it there's a beautiful cadenza at the end of the piece. Just, and that's what the flute does so well.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Taking flight into air, and you can hear natural sounds through the flute so well.
Yes.
The piece, it's a pretty challenging piece. Was it written by a flute player?
No, Sergio Cardenas is a conductor and composer. But the piece itself, I recorded it in the flute and piano version 2 years ago. And like I said, I was really sort of hypnotized by the piece from the moment I heard it when I was there visiting. And, you know, I don't have an actual narrative for the piece itself, but I did choose it to end the program tonight because flight is kind of an overarching artistic interest of mine. I like thinking about ways to represent flight, and also that flight is a really hopeful concept. So I most certainly want to tell a story with all my pieces tonight and end on a really hopeful note.
The concert is called Visible Voice, with visual art, choreography, even costumes, with live musical performance. It starts at 7:30 p.m. and it lasts about 1 hour, no intermission. This piece will be the final piece on the program. And who is your pianist again?
Helen Lukin.
Helen Lukin, wonderful, wonderful player.
One of my favorite people in the whole world. She supports my studio. She plays with my students often, mm-hmm. and it's a privilege to play with Helen. She's mm-hmm. one of the best musicians and people I know.
What were some of the other pieces that, I mean, the repertoire is huge. How did you narrow it down, and what were some of the other pieces that sparked something that said this would work as part of this narrative?
Well, there was one slight indulgence on my part, and that was that I realized I had never performed the partita for solo flute by J.S. Bach from memory. And just as a flutist and musician, it seemed like, you know, this is one of the most important pieces, maybe even top five of the solo repertoire. I expect my students to be able to perform from memory. And so I was on sabbatical last fall, so that made it, gave me some time and space to immerse myself in this and other projects. And so, and then I also realized that in a way, the Bach partita really gave the flute its voice, and that's because at the time when it was written, the flute had just gone from being a vertical to a horizontal instrument. So it was very it was starting to become very fashionable, and also it was coming out of the orchestra. So now that it was a traverso or horizontally held flute, it could project a lot more, and it was being more used as a solo and virtuosic instrument. And that was just the beginning of our solo life as flutists. So I just thought, well, this would be really appropriate to start with this piece. It's kind of like in the beginning, you know? And again, you know, a little bit of challenge to myself that I really wanted to have that experience and be able to give that experience. I know I play better from memory too. So
the flutes to which you're referring would have been made out of wood at the time, and I believe that your setup has a nod to that.
Yes. So I play a Burkhart flute made of silver, but I think it might have been 8 years ago now that I switched to a head joint. That's the top part of the flute. And that head joint is made of wood. And so I really love the feeling and the sound that the wood gives me. There's, I think, a warmth. There's a variety of colors and tone qualities that are more possible on wood than metal. So I tell everyone I probably will never go back to metal, although I do for one piece. Yeah, I'm switching.
You switched back.
Yeah.
Since this is kind of an all flute discussion, Ije, you also switched to a wooden head joint?
Mm-hmm. I did. I mean, I was inspired again by my teacher who played on wood, and I loved the sound, and so that's what got me trying them, and I felt like I just took to it. And then I also do a lot of Celtic Irish playing, and so it just seemed fitting for the group I play with, and I just love the colors and all the different warmth you can get from it.
EJ is part of The Founding, which is a group that was created at Western Michigan University and has really hit the scene splendidly. You've been to a lot of different festivals and venues all around the United States at this point.
It's been fun.
Anything coming up this summer that we will...
You know, we definitely have some festivals. I think a little tour through Illinois as well. But they're all kind of getting confirmed right now. So be on the lookout.
Well, let's talk about how you contributed to the look and feel and flow of this concert tonight. Visible Voice begins at 7:30 p.m. and tickets are available at the door or through Miller Auditorium. So, EJ, when Dr. Council Vargas brought you on as choreographer and director, how did that pan out into action? And...
Well, I was so excited because I just love the idea right away. It just hit so many parts of my life. And at first I got a little scared. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. What is this? You know, and I thought about it. I was like, well, I've danced almost my whole life and I've played flute almost my whole life and I've done a lot of theater. And, you know, I kind of started thinking it through. I was like, you know, if there's anyone who would like love this and eat this up, it'd be me. Mm-hmm. And so it was such a fun journey too, because there was so much freedom. Dr. Council Vargas really trusted me.
I keep telling her she can call me Martha.
I know. I switch back and forth. But she really trusted me to just kind of pour out my heart as well. And just, you know, I think we had so much fun just being like, hey, no idea is too crazy right now. Yeah. And so the journey began really as like, give me, you know, your wildest dreams and let's see if we can make any of those possible. And I just love, I mean, working in that atmosphere is magical. It really is. Like something in you feels like it just gets to come out and you get to share something that's so personal and just that you believe in. I think it's something that I really believe in. Mm-hmm. And so through this process, I mean, we started with a lot of movement and then we started, you know, thinking through, I mean, it's such a fun way to explore the music too. Just what is this music saying and how can we visualize that? You know, how can we make that come to life through what she's wearing or, you know, what's being projected with video or what the lights are doing or how we transition the piece. So it was a lot of experimenting. It was a great environment to be like, well, let's try it. I feel like we were so many times we're like, let's try it. We always just just an atmosphere where we were like, we were open and able to try things. So
did you need a place like a space as wide as the Dalton stage to kind of visualize this?
A little bit. I mean, we got to rehearse in the hall almost weekly, actually, starting in February.
Yes.
So we've been, you know, meeting for hours every week, just, doing exactly that, looking at the hall, looking at the spacing, what is possible. And it's been really fun, very fun.
Did you find you wanted to take Martha away from being planted in the center of the stage with a piano behind her?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we were excited to break this mold of just what you expect when you come to a classical concert. You know, what is the average person going to just be expecting to happen? And what that does to you as an audience member too, like how can we, you know, maybe pull people out of just thinking that everything they expect is going to happen. And so part of that is stage placement and blocking and all the, even just the little things, you know, that kind of draw you in and think maybe something different is going to happen.
There are some video elements in this program. So projection and are these elements like pre-filmed and are they realistic of things we recognize or are they more abstract?
So I did a project 2 years ago where I worked with Rhino Media here in Kalamazoo and they created illustrations, if you will, for three of my pieces, the Winged Messenger, the John Thau, and the Corigliano Voyage. Those images were done with mostly with a drone camera, and they're mostly nature images, but they're different for each piece. So, for instance, for the Thau, they're more canyons and southwest kind of desert imagery. And for Winged Messenger, there's a lot of aerial perspective. Don't want to give too much away, but so those three pieces are nature focused in their illustration. And then we also have Jennifer Higdon's Rapid Fire, and we both felt really strongly that we wanted to present this piece in a powerful way. It has to do with gun violence. Jennifer wrote this piece in 1992, and sadly, that was before Columbine even. Like many of us, in fact, all of us, I'm pretty sure, I'm shocked and horrified every time I hear about an incident of gun violence. And this is a piece that has scared me for years, a piece that's most certainly the most challenging for me as a flutist, but also just as a person, because it's not pretty or pleasant. It's pretty disturbing. Mm-hmm. We had Zach Elwert,
yes,
design the video art for this. And it is not graphic, but I do have, I think it's a powerful presentation. It's something that's very close to my heart. And again, like I said at the beginning, it's important to me not only to express as I proceed as an artist, not just to express something, but to actually maybe spark a discussion or spark change. So I actually consulted with a group here in Kalamazoo, the Coalition for Common Ground, and they are dedicated to creating awareness and a conversation about gun violence in the community. So my CDs will be for sale tonight, and the proceeds will go to them.
Again, this is a concert featuring Martha Council Vargas, choreography and direction by E.J. Schubkegel. Music begins at 7:30 p.m., and it, of course, not just music, as we just heard. You mentioned John Thau. I wonder if we could listen to that piece or another selection. Who is John Thau?
John Thau is an American composer and a really unique composer, because he wrote this piece in several different versions. One is for bass flute. One is for traverso. And since I'm not a virtuosic traverso player.
Meaning the Baroque style?
Yes. I chose the one written for C flute. And this piece is, his notes say that he based his piece on a Hopi flute melody, and that melody had been recorded. There was a recording of that made in 1905. So he heard this recording and based this piece off of that. And when I spoke to my friend Jackie Faust, who is citizen Potawatomi and Eastern Band Cherokee, our mutual friend, I should say, because I thought, oh, this is perfect. I'll play the recording, and that will be our transition. And then that will, draw in a scholarly element. And I was really excited about that. I ran the idea by Jackie, and she said, in her beautiful, gentle way, she just said, you might think through this. She said, if the recording was made in 1905, unfortunately, it's possible that recording was made without permission, and that many of these musical elements are actually sacred. They are part of a sacred ceremony. In this case, the melody was part of a rain ceremony, to invoke the rain, to invoke the clouds. And so, of course, I'm forever indebted to Jackie for her friendship and her consultation on the piece. So we have non-musical transitional elements into and out of this piece, but to me, it's quite meditative, although it becomes active sort of in the middle, but it employs the use of extended techniques, as in overblowing and use of harmonics to represent. And I would say the piece is inspired by the recording of that Hopi flute melody.
Let's have a break, a musical break, and hear a recording that you made, Martha, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then we'll be back with Martha Council Vargas and E.J. Schubkegel and continue in our last segment to preview tonight's Visible Voice concert, which begins at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And at 7 o'clock, there's a live and interactive interview. You can come a little early and hear some behind the scenes stories, even more than now. So, music of John Thau. We are listening to meditative flute music. That's a piece for solo flute by John Thau. And the flutist was Martha Council Vargas. And she's here in the studio with me this morning for the next few minutes with her, I'm going to call her producer, E.J. Shubkegel,
right, I like it.
Who contributed choreography and design and a lot to the concert that's going to be held tonight. The title is Visible Voice. It's a collection of flute pieces that will take you on a journey through music and visual art and movement. You've hinted a little bit at what the story might be about, but I'm really not going to pin you down. Oh. I think it might be nice to leave a little bit up to our imagination.
Exactly.
But you're saying there's a beginning, middle, and end.
Yes, ma'am. I think maybe there's only one story. My friend Zadie Lawler told me there's kind of only one story. It's like creation, beauty, struggle, tragedy, hopelessness, and redemption in the end. And so that's the way we conceived of the show, and that's the way we connected the pieces. Would you say that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and so we wanted to tell this story, and it was not a linear way of coming achieving this show, but we circled back and around and up and down with ideas, and this is how we conceived of it.
There's another artist we need to mention, and I believe this is someone close to you.
She's close to my heart. Her name's Ruth Teagen Council, and she's happens to be my mom. She also is an amazing artist, and I'm not saying that just because she's my mother. Of course, I grew up around music and around art, thanks to my parents, and it seemed like every time I entered my mom's art studio, which was a super magical place full of mystery and craziness, I saw something new that blew my mind, and that hasn't stopped for 42 years. And so a few years ago, I went up, she had a third floor art studio, and I saw probably 20, 25 abstract watercolors that just were sort of tossed around on tables, and they seemed related, but they were all very different in different sizes. And I asked my mom, and she said, well, that's an exercise, almost like an etude for us, for musicians, that it's an exercise to help you sort of get the flow of the paint and get a feeling for the control of the paint. And I said, yeah, but mom, these are like really beautiful. And not only that, but I had this sort of opposite experience where I saw the art first and then I started kind of hearing and imagining music and movement. And so my second piece, Gobert's Sonata, second movement of Gobert's Sonata in A major, features her artwork. And the other exciting thing is that that artwork will be on exhibit after the show in the green room.
Well, would you finish up by inviting people once again, the time and place and title, and we'll finish up with a little bit of this Gobert Sonata. Is this the Sonata 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I think it's 2, and it's the one in A major, okay. Second sonata. Mm-hmm. And so my show is Visible Voice. I'm Martha Council Vargas. I play the flute, and I also happen to dance around a little bit in this one. And director, producer, choreographer, and my dear, dear friend that I'm privileged to know and sit next to today, E.J. Shubkegel. She is a rock star, and she put this whole thing together with me. Every piece has a visual element to it, whether it's video art, choreography. We have creative lighting and sound and costumes. So we do hope you'll join us tonight, 7 o'clock pre-concert talk and 7:30 performance in the Dalton Recital Hall.
EJ and Martha, thank you very much for joining me here on WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you.